could do was provide it with a smile, right? We started the session with a 3-mile jog around the club property. We ran up and over the hills of the golf course, through the garden and around the tennis courts, and finished with a sprint up the stairs leading to the top balcony of the space used for weddings and events. I had to stop at least 10 times along the way, but each time I did, Rhodes would scream at me to keep going and threaten me with added distance. The beautiful day that I had been admiring in the drive over felt more like my own personal hell halfway through the workout. By the time we reached the top of the stairs, I was completely spent.
"Nice job,"
he said simply, wiping the sweat from his face as I chugged from my water bottle. He leaned over the railing for a moment, his gaze caught somewhere across the course. I was panting so hard I had to take short breaths between sips. I felt like I couldn't drink fast enough, and he was just standing there, all calm and collected, like we had just watched a movie rather than ran for almost an hour in the Carolina heat.
"Don't drink too much too quickly,"
he said smoothly, lifting himself from his leaning position on the rail.
"Take a few minutes and meet me downstairs when you're ready."
Without another word, he turned and jogged back down the stairs we had just run up. I watched the ridges of his back muscles move and sink as he disappeared from view. I wasn't one for cursing, but I could think of at least 7 swear words I felt like yelling out to the entire club in that moment. Instead, I focused on my breathing and sipping water until I felt a little calmer before walking down the stairs to join Rhodes. He was setting up some sort of obstacle course with tires, ropes, boxes, and bars. Good Lord. It wasn't that I hadn't worked out before training with Rhodes, but I'd never experienced anything close to his methods before. I realized at that point that my high school gym classes were a complete joke. Even the Zumba classes that had kicked my butt when Mom and I took them paled in comparison to the sessions I had with Rhodes. He was fierce. He surely had a goal in mind for me, whether I did or not. "How do you do that without dying?" I asked, nodding toward the path we'd just run. He shrugged, dropping another, slightly taller box down beside the one he'd just placed.
"I just do."
I fidgeted with the bottom of my t-shirt, waiting for more of an explanation that never came. Sighing, I tried again. "How many days a week do you train?"
7.
"So you don't have a single day off?"
"Nope."
"That's crazy." He didn't respond. "What got you into fitness?" He paused after placing a weighted plate on the taller of the 2 boxes, his arms bracing himself on either side. Turning toward me slowly, he locked his eyes on mine as his mouth flattened into a thin line. Small beads of sweat dripped down the ridges of his nose and jaw, and I watched them with fascination, wishing I had my camera with me to capture that shot in a stunning black and white monochrome.
"You ask a lot of questions."
"I asked 4.
"That's a lot."
I scoffed, but he didn't give me a chance to argue further.
"Let's start here. Grab these ropes."
He gestured down to 2 thickly woven ropes that were anchored to the thick pillar below the stairs we'd just climbed. I slowly bent to pick them up and held one in each hand facing the tied end. They were heavier than I expected, and I immediately worried about where the workout was headed. Rhodes stepped up beside me with his arms outstretched, mimicking the position I was holding the ropes in.
"These are battle ropes. They're going to work a lot of different muscles simultaneously and give you an all-over workout. We're only going to do 10 minutes, but it's going to feel like hours."
I swallowed, gripping the ropes a little tighter.
"Start like this,"
he instructed, standing with his feet shoulder-width apart and bending his knees slightly before lifting both of his hands and bringing them down with force.
"It's a simple double wave. Just lift the ropes with both hands and bring them back down as hard as you can, making a wave."
I lifted the ropes as high as I could and brought them back down with as much force as I could muster, turning to Rhodes for approval. He nodded, his brows bent in that beautiful way that I'd begun to realize was a signature look of his, and I continued. Immediately I noticed my arms burning, but the more we worked, the more the burn spread throughout my entire body. He had me change positions every minute, everything from an alternating wave where each worm worked the opposite motion of the other, to shoulder circles, which were exactly like what they were called, except with heavy ropes that made my upper back and shoulders burn like they were on fire.
"Let's finish with snakes,"
Rhodes said after what must have been about 9 minutes, but what felt more like 9 days.
"You're going to get into a squat,"
he said, illustrating the move.
"And move your arms out and then together, but not all the way crossed, making snake-like waves across the ground."
He lifted his brows to ask if I understood, and I nodded, turning back toward the anchor. I did my first attempt and laughed out loud at the failed result. When I looked over at Rhodes, his eyes were brighter, the wrinkles in his forehead leveled out. If I didn't know it was impossible, I'd say he was almost smiling. "Here," he said, moving behind me. I stopped breathing as his strong hands found my middle, somehow making me feel small as he lowered me into a squat. Slowly, he snaked his arms up under mine and gripped the ropes just above where my hands held tight to them. His hard chest was pressed against my back, our bodies sticking together slightly, and his breath was hot on the skin of my neck. "Like this." He moved our arms out and then back toward each other, and I watched how the ropes mimicked the movements of a snake, trying to focus on anything other than the buzz I was feeling from being so close to Rhodes. I felt him swallow, the muscle in his arms tensing as he waited for me to do the move with him. When he was sure I had it, he stepped back, straightening himself as I finished. He eventually called time and I dropped the ropes and stood, shaking out my legs. I was breathing hard, though I wasn't exactly sure it was from the ropes. I peered up at Rhodes, hands hooked on my hips as I tried to steady my breathing. He was watching me closely, that same curiosity buzzing in his eyes. I felt like he had a question for me, and I begged him to ask it, to say anything at all. The air between us was charged with an unexplainable energy, and I wondered if he felt it too. But he just cleared his throat and motioned to the boxes he'd set up earlier.
"Grab water if you need it. We're doing box jumps next."
My eyes fell to the ground and I retied the messy bun high on my head as my cheeks heated. Foregoing the water, I followed him to the box jumps, which I wasn't able to successfully complete. I was terrified of falling on my face and it felt like my feet were glued to the ground each time he demanded I jump. We moved on to the next part of his makeshift obstacle course and continued through it until I was so drenched my light orange shirt was stuck to every curve of my body. Rhodes clapped me on the back like a football player and told me to take an ice bath. Then he turned and disappeared inside the club and into the small gym office. I did take my first ice bath that night, right after drinking the disgusting powder-based post-workout shake that Rhodes told me to buy. As I sank down into the freezing water, ice cubes shaking and shifting as I lowered myself in, I hoped it would cool much more than just my aching muscles. Chapter 3. Thursday's workout was tough, but Friday's was absolutely brutal. Rhodes seemed pissed off for whatever reason, and apparently taking out his frustration on his clients was his favorite pastime. So when Saturday finally rolled around, I was beyond thankful for my day off from training. Spending Saturday night with Willow was just what I needed, though I wasn't sure I'd be able to lift myself out of the booth when the night was over. Hooko wasn't really my thing, but I loved going to Rook with Willow. It was a small, dark hole in the wall with plush maroon couches and acoustic music, sometimes played by a live artist. There was something about the vibe that helped me relax, even with the smoke clouds around me. When Willow called me wanting to go out, I was far from excited, but she promised it was just the two of us, girls' night, and that was pretty much the only kind of outing I was okay with at the moment. Plus, I owed her an explanation for shutting her out after the Haystacks incident. So I caved, and after the hard part was over and I'd apologized for ditching her, I finally relaxed and started to enjoy myself. Willow was going on and on about the program she applied for at Appalachian State when the waitress brought us our second hookah. She had already been accepted in the fall, but the program she was waiting to hear back from was an early acceptance program that would kickstart her academic career and set her up with some of the best professors in smaller, more intimate classes. Plus, she'd get a full ride if she was accepted. She said if, I said when. Willow was too intelligent not to get accepted. In fact, she could have landed a full ride pretty much anywhere in the country, but just like every other normal kid in Paxton Beach, she wanted Appalachian State. Part of me wanted to go too, if only to have at least 4 more years with my best friend. "I'm just so nervous," she said for the 50th time, taking the first drag from the new hookah set up on the small wooden table in front of us. "I want this more than anything I've ever wanted in my entire life, Nat. What if I don't get it?" I shook my head, wishing I had a bank of intellectually deep phrases to pull from like she always did. I wanted to calm her, but I could only laugh. "You're going to get in. I know it. You know it. Everyone knows it. You got your acceptance letter to Appalachian State months before anyone else, and you were valedictorian. This Kickstart program committee would be absolutely freaking insane not to accept you. And when you do get in, I'm going to cry for days, wondering how the hell I'm going to make it through the rest of the summer without you. She smiled softly, reaching over to pat my leg before inhaling through the long hookah hose again. She was smoking a peach and vanilla combination of sheesh that made my mouth water a little. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy the taste of it or that I hadn't tried it before. I just didn't really have an addictive personality. I could drink if I wanted to, but I rarely did. I could smoke if I wanted to, but I almost never felt that need. Overall, I didn't need much to have a good time. Just my friends. And Mason. My stomach lurched and I shifted on the couch, pulling my legs up closer to my chest. Willow noticed my shield and narrowed her eyes, letting a cloud of smoke escape her plump lips. Her hair was long and curled tonight, while my dark blonde locks were pinned straight. Even dressed in distressed jeans and a Fall Out Boy t-shirt, she looked flawless. I, on the other hand, still felt less than average, even with the makeup I'd taken almost 20 minutes to apply. "You better not be thinking about Mason," she warned, handing me the hose so she could drink her water. She had a weird stigma about not letting the hose touch the table until the hookah was tapped. "I just still can't believe what happened last weekend," I confessed, sighing a little. "Mason used to be my best friend. I mean, he can't have changed that much in the 2 weeks we've been broken up. How could he be with someone like that?" I shook my head. "He might as well have left with her." She scoffed and rolled her eyes, taking a small sip of water. "An insecure man would rather laugh with the hyenas than chance failing a run with the lions." I cocked a brow. "What the heck does that mean?" Willow laughed. "It means he's a follower, Nat. His new girlfriend has him pining for her attention, and he'll do anything to be what she wants. It takes a real man to stand up for what he knows is right and not be afraid to go against the crowd. Mason is just a boy." I sighed, picking at the plastic mouthpiece on the hookah hose. "Yeah, but he used to be my boy." Willow snatched the hose from my hand and took a drag, kicking back further on the couch. "You want to know what I still can't believe?" she asked, changing the subject. "That you're training with fucking Rhodes." My cheeks flushed. I had debated telling Willow about my personal training, but she was my best friend and would have found out anyway. "Scary, huh?" "That's putting it lightly. Remember when he was senior when we started high school? Dude was terrifying. He was in juvie more that year than I was in gym class." I chuckled. "I don't remember what he was always in trouble for." "What wasn't he in trouble for? Him and that group of kids he hung out with were always up to something. Stealing, partying, drunk driving, public nudity, you name it, they were doing it." "That's the thing, though. I don't really remember him having many friends. He was always kind of a loner, wasn't he?" Willow exhaled a long puff of white smoke. "I guess, but anyone he did hang out with was just as rough around the edges as he was." Clearing my throat, I pulled my feet up to tuck them under my thighs. "He's different now." "Oh, yeah? Different how, Natalie Poxton?" Willow's brows shot up. I blushed harder. "I don't know, he just is." I wasn't exactly sure what it was that made me think he was different. He still didn't talk to me, he was still terrifyingly strong, and he still had a glare that could make a full-grown man run and hide. I had no way of knowing if he did drugs or partied with thugs or stole old ladies' purses. He could very well have been doing all of that and more. But there was something about him that made me think he wasn't as scary as he seemed. "You crushing on your PT, Nat?" Willow teased, waggling her brows as she handed me the hose again and reached for her water. I narrowed my eyes to glare at her, and she laughed out loud before lifting the bottle to her lips. Suddenly, her eyes grew wide, and she almost choked on the water. "Holy shit, isn't that him?" I rolled my eyes. "Ha ha, Willow, you're hilarious." "No," she swallowed, twisting the cap back on her bottle. "Seriously, look." I turned to face the same direction as her, and fought to keep my composure when I realized she was right. Rhodes was there, walking straight toward our table. His arm was draped around the shoulders of an older woman. A very, very pretty older woman.
"And is that Mrs. Landers?" Willow asked, her voice raising an octave.
Rhodes' eyes found mine just as the words left her mouth. They were dark in the dim light of the rook, but I could still feel their intensity. He was dressed in dark jeans and a light gray quarter-sleeve button-up that accentuated the tan muscles of his forearms. He frowned when he saw me, and like an idiot, I lifted my hand in a small, non-committal wave. His face hardened further, and he strolled right past our table without a word, pulling Mrs. Landers closer into him and moving the hair from her neck so he could whisper into it. She giggled and placed a hand on his stomach as he opened the door and ushered her out into the night. I was still staring at him open-mouthed when Willow snapped her fingers in front of my face and grabbed the hose from my hand. "Hello? You there, Nat?" She laughed, shaking her head. "What the hell was that? He acted like he didn't even know you. And why is he with our anatomy teacher? Maybe she's teaching him a thing or two. Or vice versa." She giggled at her own joke, and I finally closed my mouth, crossing my arms over my chest. "We should probably get going. Church in the morning." "Ugh, don't remind me," she groaned, dropping the hose on the table after one last pull. "I love Jesus, but this town on a Sunday is something else." I laughed a little, but my stomach was in knots as we walked out to the Rover and drove across town to my place. Rhodes had straight up ignored me, which I guess wasn't really different from what he did when we trained together, but it still bothered me. Did he always have to have a stick up his ass? And why was he all cuddled up with Mrs. Flanders? My brain ran wild with possibilities as I tossed and turned in bed that night. When I finally did fall asleep, I dreamed of shoplifting with Rhodes and getting arrested. But for some reason, I didn't cry or scream when they put the handcuffs on us and threw us in the back of a cop car. Instead, I laughed. And for the first time, Rhodes laughed too. I woke up angry on Sunday morning. I thought praying and singing in church would calm me down, but it didn't. Instead, I found myself not listening to Pastor Mike and thinking about Rhodes and Mrs. Landers. I convinced myself that it wasn't him with her that upset me, but rather that he didn't even acknowledge my existence. Up until that point, I thought he just didn't like to talk much, but acting like he didn't know me in a public place gave me a new idea. It hit me that maybe he was ashamed of me. He was my trainer, not my friend, and I knew that, but I wasn't okay with him treating me like I didn't matter. I may not have been as beautiful and fit as the other women he trained, but I still deserve to be treated like a paying client. He didn't owe me anything. He didn't have to be my friend. But I couldn't for the life of me figure out why he insisted on always being such a jerk. He dodged my questions when we trained, opting for silence instead, and he ignored me the one and only time we bumped into each other outside the gym. He didn't want to be my friend? Fine. But I was his client, and he at least needed to be nice to me. After church, I changed quickly and ran out of the house to head to my training session. I was fuming in the car, going over all the things I would say when I finally got face to face with Rhodes. "What's your problem? Am I really that hideous that you can't say hi to me? What the hell were you doing there with Mrs. Landers?" Of course, as soon as I actually made it inside the training room and was met with those sharp green eyes, everything I'd planned to say flew out into space, leaving me with my arms crossed and foot tapping on the spongy gym floor like a moron. Rhodes cocked a brow, though his mouth remained a thin line. "You're late. Get on the treadmill, bump the incline up to 4 and the speed to 5. I glared at him, willing my mouth to open, wishing the words I'd recited would flow from my mouth like I imagined they would if we were in a movie. But I came up empty, and I couldn't take the heat from his glare any longer, so I huffed and climbed onto the treadmill, doing as he said. Rhodes didn't take it easy on me that day. After 45 minutes on the treadmill, changing the incline and speed every 3 minutes, I was drenched and on the verge of passing out. I couldn't drink water fast enough. Then he had me on the machines. It was leg day, which was news to me, and I found out quickly that leg day sucked. But I had anger on my side, and I pushed through everything he threw at me. I tried to take every question I had and use it for fuel to go faster. I focused on the embarrassment and the anger I felt when Rhodes ignored me the night before and geared my frustration toward lifting more and lasting longer. I was doing everything I could to ignore what I was feeling and think only of what my body was doing. Almost as if he knew I was fighting something, Rhodes pushed me harder than he had the entire week before. He made me do more reps when I thought I was done, yelled at me to run faster when I slowed down even the slightest, and got in my face when I murmured that I couldn't do another set. He knew I was perturbed, but he didn't ask me about it. He made me work through it, and that just pissed me off more. When 2 hours had passed and he told me to get on the Stairmaster, I'd had enough. I tried to push through it, but 2 minutes in, I felt my breakfast threatening to make a second appearance. "I'm done," I said, gasping for air as I hit the stop button on the machine. The stairs halted and I rested on the top one, laying my head down on my slick forearm as I stared down at my sneakers. Suddenly, Rhodes' hands gripped the bar and he lowered his eyes to mine. His jaw was so square, so set, just having his face inches from mine made me uncomfortable. When he spoke, his voice low but firm, a chill ran down my neck.
No, you're not.
Yes. I lifted my head, wiping the sweat dripping from my forehead with my towel. I am.
Stop quitting. Tell your mind to get out of the way so your body can work.
I have been working, I yelled. I was surprised at the level the words left me, but I wasn't sorry. I was exhausted, I was pissed, and I was officially at my limit.
And you're still working. You're not done. Let's go.
He pressed the green button and bumped the speed up to 6, forcing me to walk. I smacked his hand away and stopped it again. I'm going to throw up. He sighed.
No, you're not. You're just psyching yourself out.
I can't do this! I screamed at the top of my lungs, my chest heaving as I dropped down to the ground from the steps. There were people staring at us then, but I didn't care. I stepped right up to Rhodes, putting me chest to chest with him. I felt intimidated, but I didn't dare let it show. All you do is scream at me and push me, and I feel like nothing is happening other than me feeling like I want to die every night when I leave here. You never let me breathe, you never smile, you never talk to me, and last night you pretended like you didn't even know who I was. I don't know if you're ashamed to be seen around me or what, but I'm not putting up with it. You may be my trainer, Rhodes, but that doesn't give you the right to be an asshole. Rhodes' eyes were on fire as he stood back, arms crossed, taking every lashing I handed out with my verbal beating. At first he seemed amused, but with every word his face fell a bit further. Satisfied with his dumbfounded expression, I tossed my towel over my shoulder and snagged my gym bag from the floor, swinging it over my shoulder and heading for the rover. I was shaking as I strapped on my seatbelt, physical proof that though my words were confident and sure, I was far from both. Starting the car quickly, I pulled out of the club without looking back to see if Rhodes was trying to stop me. My breaths were still hard in my chest and my heart hammering against my ribs when I made it home. The house was quiet as I dropped my bag at the door. I heard Mom on the phone down the hall, but I headed for the kitchen first, grabbing a Gatorade out of the fridge. I chugged half of it before heading toward where I heard Mom's voice. I wasn't sure the whole training thing was for me anymore, but before I made any decisions, I wanted her advice. My hand lifted to knock on the doorframe when I heard my name. Pausing, I tucked my hand back to my side and leaned back against the wall, straining to hear what she was saying.
I'm proud of her. I just hope she can stick to it. You and I both know the kids in college won't be as kind as kids here in Paxton Beach. No one knows who she is or who her father is there. They'll judge her based on her looks. I think she sees that too. I'm just glad she's finally doing something about it.
My chest tightened and my throat grew thick with something I couldn't quite swallow down. I silenced my breath as much as I could, trying to hear her soft voice more clearly, but my heart was beating like a helicopter in my ears.
Yeah, exactly. Natalie has always been so pretty, but I can't wait to see what she looks like once this trainer is done with her. And she'll feel so much better when she's not carrying around so much weight.
An ache ripped through my chest as she paused on the phone, the other person talking now.
Oh, no, I think he's getting better. We haven't had any instances recently. He's just a man. I don't hold any of it against him.
She hadn't moved on to something else, something I didn't have a clue about, but I clearly understood the conversation before that. A familiar sting hit my nose and I sniffed, wiping at it quickly before walking as quickly and quietly as I could back to the living room. I snagged my camera off the coffee table and slipped back out the front door, pulling it shut almost silently behind me. I was shaking even worse now, and I dropped the keys to the Range Rover twice before finally climbing inside, carefully setting my camera in the passenger seat beside me. My hands found the wheel and I gripped it tight, heart beating in my ears, breaths coming erratically. When I pushed the start button and the engine purred to life, it was like a sort of numbness settled over me. My muscles were becoming more aware of the hell I'd put them through that afternoon, while my mind tried to process everything I'd just heard. Mom was right. I did know that college would be different should I decide to go. I knew that no one would know who I was, that maybe who I was had something to do with the friends I had here in Paxton Beach. But hearing those things from her killed me.
Had she always thought I was overweight? Had she always wished that I would do something about it? Was she ashamed of me too? My mind was spinning as I drove to the beach. I felt tears stinging the corners of my eyes, but they didn't fall. I pulled into Dale's reserve parking spot near the pier and threw my camera strap around my neck before peeling off my sneakers and socks and walking slowly onto the beach. When my toes hit the sand, I powered on my camera and lifted the viewfinder to my left eye, snapping the first photo. Click. Click. Just hearing the soft, familiar sound let my breaths come easier than before. I shot everything and nothing. The water, the sand, a seashell stuck in seaweed, a man and his daughter down the beach building a castle, the old and decaying building on the other side of the pier. I snapped and clicked until my arms were numb from holding the camera and my face was numb from the tears I hadn't realized had started falling. It was the first time in my life I fully admitted to myself that I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with who I was, or how I looked, or how I felt. Ever since I could remember, I depended on food for everything. Comfort, celebration, mourning. And now that I had finally started to take control and do something about it, I didn't feel support from anyone around me, save for Willow, who would likely be gone in just a few weeks. Even my trainer didn't believe in me. It was like they all looked at me with pity in their eyes. Poor Natalie Poxton. But I didn't want to be that girl anymore. If my life was to be a story, I wanted to take control of the pen. I wanted to change the paper, crumple up what had been written so far, and start over. I just hoped I could actually do it. I wasn't sure if I was still crying when the sun started to set, only that I didn't care anymore. I let myself break as I shot the pink and purple streaks across the Carolina sky. I knew right then and there, on a warm Sunday evening, with my feet sinking into the sand at the edge of the ocean, that this summer would be the hardest of my life. It would either change me for the better, or shatter me completely. But maybe I needed to break, to fully fall to pieces, before I could ever truly be whole. Chapter 4. I debated not even showing up for my training session the next day, but I dragged my butt to the gym against my own will. I knew I'd have to face Rhodes after getting off on him the day before, but I hoped he would just let it go. That's what I was prepared to do. The night before had set a new resolve for me, and I was ready to get to work. Even if I was the only one in my corner, I was going to fight for a new me. The summer after high school was supposed to be about change, movement, progress. I was determined to turn my life around, and I wasn't going to waste a single second because of some jerk who'd always been a jerk anyway. He didn't think I could do it? Fine. I would prove him wrong. Just like I'd prove Mason wrong, and he'd realize giving me up was a mistake. Then I'd be back under his arm, under his sheets on rainy days, back where I belonged. Even with my new determination, I couldn't meet Rhodes' eyes when I walked through the gym door. Walking straight up to the treadmill, I hit the quick start button and began walking, staring straight ahead out the window that overlooked the golf course. After a minute had passed, Rhodes walked over to stand in front of the machine. He leaned over and paused it, bracing his hands on either side of the display and blocking my view of the course, forcing me to look at him. When I finally did pull my eyes to his features were softer. I tried not to notice the way his hair flitted over his eyebrows as they pulled together and he exhaled.
"I'm sorry, Natalie."
I shivered a bit when he said my name, but I wasn't sure why. Maybe because he was just saying it like a normal person, yet for some reason, the three syllables rolling off his tongue shot straight down between my thighs.
"I'm not sorry for pushing you, but I'm sorry for upsetting you."
His lips pressed together for a moment before he continued.
"And I'm not ashamed of you."
Rhodes held my gaze. Even when I tried to look at the ground, he moved his head down into my view until I looked at him again.
"Exactly the opposite, actually. You work hard. You want this for whatever reason, and I can see it. That's why I push you. I know you can work harder, go faster, lift more. I'm proud to have you as my client."
I scoffed, the anger I felt from Saturday night resurfacing. "Oh, yeah? Is that why you completely ignored me at Rook when I saw you with your..." I paused, not sure what to call Mrs. Landers. "Girlfriend?" His mouth flattened into a thin line.
"She's a client, Natalie."
Is that right? Well, damn, do you kiss on the necks of all of your clients? I've been getting gypped. I couldn't believe those words just left my mouth, and my cheeks flushed immediately, but I stood straight and kept my eyes on his. He glared at me for a moment, his steady eyes threatening to weaken my resolve, but I remained poignant. You shouldn't be smoking. I rolled my eyes at his attempt to change the subject. I wasn't smoking. If you hadn't treated me like the plague and actually talked to me instead, you would know that. Again, I was surprised at the words leaving my mouth. They were a hell of a lot more confident than the girl saying them. I was just holding the hose for my friend. She doesn't like to let it touch the table until it's tapped. I waved my hands in the air flittingly. Some weird superstition or something. Rhodes kept his eyes on me, looking for a lie that wasn't there. Finally, he nodded.
Fair enough,
he assessed, then he held out his hand. I stared at it for a moment before grabbing it and letting him help me down off the machine.
We need to get your weight. It's been a week. Come on,
he said, nodding toward the office.
Let's do it before you drink a bunch of water.
I followed him back, my hand still tingling from where it had touched his. I couldn't figure out if I was still angry at him or not, so I kept a frown in place just in case. He was always scowling. Maybe I should do the same. When we reached the office, he pointed to the tall glass scale as he scoured my desk for my file. I eyed him silently, wondering if I had more questions for him or if I wanted to yell at him again. He had apologized for upsetting me, and he said he believed in me, which was exactly what I needed in that moment, wasn't it? He was proud to have me as a client, which was why he pushed me. Maybe I didn't need him as a friend if I could have him as a pillar of support instead. It was too much to figure out in that moment, so I sighed and stepped up, closing my eyes as I waited for him to write down what was probably the same number as last week.
Down 11 pounds,
he said, and my eyes shot open.
Nice job.
I stared at the number on the digital screen, my mouth hanging open. No way! Rhodes let me stare for a minute, and thankfully, he didn't make fun of me. When it had finally sank in that I was 11 pounds lighter than the week before, I slowly stepped off the scale, wincing at the pain I still felt in my legs after yesterday. Walking in the sand all night probably wasn't the best way to recover from leg day. Rhodes must have picked up on my expression.
How do your muscles feel?
Tight, I answered, bracing myself with one hand on the wall as I lifted my foot and pulled it up toward my lower back to stretch out my quad. It killed me just to lift my leg at all. When I pulled it in toward my body, I cried out and let it drop back down to the floor. Rhodes furrowed his brows.
Follow me.
We headed back to the gym and I expected him to tell me to jump back on the treadmill, but he grabbed a yoga mat and a tennis ball instead, before leading me out back to where we had our first outdoor session. I watched his back move as we walked, the muscles flexing beneath the thin fabric of his tattered blue tank top. His skin seemed darker today, and I wondered if he had enjoyed the beach yesterday, too. He found a shady spot in the grass beneath a Spanish oak tree and laid out the black mat. It was hot in the sun, but there was a slight breeze that, combined with the shade, made me glad we had moved outside.
Lay down,
he commanded, and I shivered again. His eyes were on me as he moved down to sit beside me, holding his tennis ball in his hand.
I'm going to roll out your muscles. You can do this at home, too. With a foam roller, a tennis ball, or just your hands.
I nodded and he slowly moved his right hand to my right quad. The moment his hands touched my leg through the thin fabric of my workout pants, I sucked in a breath that I forgot how to let go of. He applied pressure, softly rolling his fingers over the muscles. I winced and then groaned in a mixture of pain and pleasure when he hit a spot that sent an electric current through my entire leg and up to my hip. His eyes snapped to mine when I groaned, but he didn't say anything. Instead, he moved the ball to replace his hand and began rolling it up and down my quad. I tried not to make any noise, but every time he hit that spot, I involuntarily moaned again, closing my eyes and letting the unfamiliar mixture of feelings overtake me as I gripped the edge of the mat. It hurt like hell, but then again, it felt amazing. I was so confused.
It's a trigger point, Rhodes finally said. It's like a knot that forms in your muscle. Rolling it out will release it and allow you to properly move again without the pain you're feeling now.
I nodded, but words were lost for me at the moment. He moved to the opposite leg and the process started all over again. It started out incredibly painful, but at the same time, I enjoyed it, and when I stopped moaning, he would move to a different part of my body. He worked meticulously, and I peeked an eye-opened glance at him from time to time, watching as his eyes skated over my body while he worked. When he moved to my abdomen, I cringed, my hands flying down to cover my fat. It was then that I realized how vulnerable I was in that position. Rhodes paused, the ball just above my navel. "It's fine, Natalie," he said softly, grabbing my hands and placing them back by my sides. "You need to do abdominal work today, and it's not going to be effective if you're hurting this badly." I chewed the inside of my cheek, but timidly laid my head back down and stared up at the moss flowing in the breeze. It moved fluidly, casting the sun's light in a wave over Rhodes' face as he tenderly rolled the ball around my upper abs. When his thumb grazed the bottom of my sports bra, I had to suck both of my lips between my teeth and bite down to keep me from moaning for a completely different reason. What was wrong with me? Rhodes eyed me cautiously, but didn't acknowledge it. "You went to Buxton High," he said after a moment. I waited for him to say something else, but he left it at that. "Yeah, I was a freshman when you were a senior." I groaned a little louder as he moved to my upper chest. I was incredibly sore there from the push-ups and burpees we'd been doing.
"Buxton High," he mused. "That title have anything to do with your last name by chance?"
I laughed a little. "My stepdad. He kind of owns, well, almost everything in this town, including the high school." He nodded but didn't comment.
"And you were a freshman when I was a senior."
This time I nodded, but he moved the ball to my biceps and I was focusing on not making noises that would cause my cheeks to heat.
"Roll over," he demanded.
As I did, I noticed his brows knitted together in concentration, even when he wasn't rolling the ball. I wasn't sure why he was suddenly talking to me. Maybe because of the fit I threw the day before. Whatever the cause, I wasn't going to question it. I was thankful to not work in silence. As strange as it sounds, getting that ball rolled over my muscles felt like a lot of work.
"I just don't understand," he said as he began rolling the ball up my calf.
I moaned out loud, realizing that area was packed with trigger points, as he had called them. "Don't understand what?" I asked, still holding my breath as he rolled over my other calf. I leaned up on my elbows and turned my head back to meet his eyes. He paused, holding the ball in place as he gazed back at me.
"How could I never have noticed you before?"
I swallowed, almost more afraid of the brief tenderness I caught in his eyes in that moment than the usual hardness that existed there. Shrugging, I answered his question just above a whisper. "I'm easy to miss." I held his eyes for a moment more before laying my chest back to the ground, resting my head on my arms. He started rolling the ball up my hamstrings and I closed my eyes tight. I thought I might explode from the mixture of pain and pleasure that rocked through my body. After a few moments, he spoke again.
"Maybe I just wasn't looking."
My eyes shot open, but I didn't respond. Rhodes finished rolling out my muscles and then we headed back into the gym without another word. He didn't work me any less than the days before, but he was more patient, taking the time to explain the drills to me and making sure I took the rest I needed between sets. Still, he pushed me hard and sweat was dripping furiously down my face and into my eyes as I drove home that evening with the windows down. The salty water was irritating my contacts, but I didn't swipe it away. In fact, I didn't even care. My mind was too busy running over the words I'd heard Rhodes say to give attention to anything else. They played over and over again in my head until I was sure I'd dream of them that night. Maybe I just wasn't looking. No matter how many times I replayed the words, I couldn't for the life of me figure out what he meant. And I was right. I thought about it so much that when night came, I dreamed of Rhodes for the second time. And for what I knew, wouldn't be the last. I told Mom and Dale about my weigh-in the next morning, and they both flipped out. Mom jumped up from her bar stool excitedly and wrapped me in a bone-crushing hug, while Dale clapped me on the back. His hand lingered there as I told them about how my sessions had been going. Dale joked about taking us out for ice cream to celebrate, and I shrugged out from under his hand and glared at him. He laughed then, and I joined him. I was happy. It was a good start to what I hoped would be a life-changing summer. My session with Rhodes was pushed back to 6 that night, and by the time we finished at 8, I was starving. We'd had another great session, and I felt us falling into a comfortable rhythm. He talked to me a little more, which made me happy, and I learned not to push him when he stopped talking and focus on working instead. Maybe we were figuring each other out, after all. My stomach growled loud enough for him to hear as we did a cool-down walk around the golf course, and he chuckled, which was sort of a foreign sound when it came to Rhodes.
"Hungry?"
he asked, the sky fading from a gold to a light blue behind him. It was an intriguing contrast, such hard features against such a soft background. No one was left on the course but us, and other than the buzz of the trail lights and insects, it was silent. I welcomed the quietness. "You have no idea," I murmured, rubbing my stomach. "All this rabbit food is killing me."
"Rabbit food?"
Rhodes quirked a brow.
"Are you hungry like this all the time?"
I nodded and he shook his head.
"You shouldn't be if you're eating enough protein. Do you have plans tonight?"
I stopped mid-stride, staring at Rhodes like he'd just asked me to take my pants off, but he just waited for my response with a calm demeanor. No?
"Good. Come over to my place, and I'll cook us dinner. Show you that eating rabbit food isn't as bad as it seems, if you know how to do it right."
He continued walking, but it took me a minute before my legs would move again. Did Rhodes just ask me to come over to his house? The same guy who would barely say more than 2 words to me before was asking me to come over to his place for dinner. He'd gone from ignoring me to asking me to hang out with him like we were friends. I smiled at that possibility.
"I just need to lock up the office real quick."
I nodded and he jogged off while I pulled out my favorite strawberry lemonade lip balm, gliding the tube over my lips repeatedly as I waited for Rhodes. I was counting my breaths and trying not to overthink. It was just my trainer making me a healthy meal, that's all. Rhodes led me around to the front of the club after he locked up. I traded my lip balm for my keys as he climbed onto a sleek black sports bike. The way he straddled it highlighted the defined muscles in both his arms and his legs, and I couldn't help but stare as he pulled on the matching all-black helmet.
"I'm not too far from here,"
he said, nodding up the street.
"Just follow me and flash your lights if I'm going too fast. Cool?"
"Cool," I replied, but it barely croaked out. I smiled to try to cover the weakness in my voice. For a moment, I thought Rhodes crooked the tiniest smile, but he pulled his helmet down the rest of the way, and I couldn't be sure. I threw my bag in my trunk and slipped in behind the steering wheel, my knuckles turning white from the ferocious grip I had on it. I was going to Rhodes' house. His house! I tried to breathe steadily, but I was pretty sure I sounded more like a horse than anything. Whew. Deep breaths, Natalie. Deep breaths. Yeah. Easier said than done.
Chapter 5. We pulled into a small apartment complex less than 10 minutes later. His place was in the exact opposite direction of my house from the club, and even though I was only half an hour from home, it seemed like I was in a different country. When I stepped out of the Rover, I locked the doors and stared up at the chipping blue paint on the wood-paneled building. The upper apartments had small balconies that I could see some residents sitting on. They were staring at me like I didn't belong, their eyes hard and cold. I crossed my arms over my chest and walked to Rhodes just as he hopped off his bike. Surprisingly, he started pushing it up on the sidewalk toward the building. "Don't you need to park that?"
"I am," he responded simply.
I didn't understand until he unlocked the bottom floor apartment door on the back right side of the building, pushed the bike inside, and leaned it up on the kickstand just inside the small foyer at the entrance. He was parking it, just not outside. It was dark inside the apartment, and when Rhodes flicked on the light, I blinked my eyes until they adjusted. It was small, that was for sure, but I was surprised by how it looked on the inside. It was clean, nice, simple, but nice. We were standing in the small foyer with basic white-tiled floor. It led right into a living room with a beige Berber carpet and one dark brown leather couch facing a flat screen mounted on the far wall. There was an entertainment center filled with cookbooks and movies and a simple coffee table, wood with a glass center. There were no photos, no paintings, no quote embellishments, just a clean white wall, furniture, and the TV.
I followed Rhodes further into the space as he stashed his helmet in the hall closet and caught a view of the kitchen. It was pretty large considering the size of the apartment as a whole, and it looked like Rhodes had renovated it from the original setting. The countertops looked like new granite, and he had installed a hanging rack above the stove to hang pots, pans, and utensils. The sink had a fancy faucet that looked like something Christina would want installed in our kitchen. All the appliances were a dark gray and seemed brand new, and there was one cabinet above the fridge that had the cabinet doors removed. The shelves housed at least a dozen more cookbooks, and one lone apron hung on a small hook just beside the pantry. Rhodes ran a hand through his still damp hair as he watched me look around.
You want something to drink?
My eyes found his but dropped a little to note the way his shirt was still sticking to his abdomen. Just water is fine. He nodded, stepping into the kitchen long enough to grab a glass and fill it with ice and water from the fridge. Setting it down on the counter in front of me, he lifted a thumb and pointed to the room down the hall behind him.
I just need to shower real quick. You can too, if you want.
I swallowed hard, my eyes practically bulging from my head, and for the first time, Rhodes laughed. Well, he chuckled.
I meant when I'm done, Natalie.
I know, I said quickly. I totally didn't know. I will. When you're done, I have extra clothes.
Why did I say that?
He quirked a brow.
Guess I won't be seeing you naked tonight, then.
I thought he was joking, but I couldn't be sure because he left it at that without so much as another smile before turning and disappearing down the hall. I quickly guzzled down the glass of water he'd given me and refilled it. I needed to cool down. Way down. It was the first time I'd seen Rhodes smile, the first time I'd heard him laugh. I thought it would be weird to see him like that, but it was the exact opposite. He seemed more comfortable with a grin on his face, no matter how fleeting it was. Rhodes emerged from the back room 10 minutes later, fully dressed in large gray sweatpants and a plain black t-shirt with the sleeves cut off. His hair was wet and unruly, and his skin still shone a little from the water. He walked straight into the kitchen and started pulling dishes out.
Towels are above the toilet, and you don't have long with the hot water, so be quick. You can use my soap and whatever else you need.
He didn't turn around when he said the words, and I swallowed, the thought of standing in the place where he'd just been naked, rattling me more than I cared to admit. But my legs eventually started moving, and I walked down the hall with my gym bag. When I pushed through the door, I was surprised to find myself in Rhodes' bedroom. The bathroom was straight ahead, but his room filled out the right side of the room. It was just as clean and simple as the living room. Queen bed, dark blue comforter, no headboard, white walls and an old box TV sitting on top of a dark brown dresser. There was one framed photo on a small bedside table that matched the dresser. Curiosity getting the best of me, I walked over and picked up the silver frame to examine the photo inside. It was of a young girl standing against a row of dark green lockers. If I had to guess, I would have said she was 16 or so when the photo was taken. She had long brown hair and dark olive skin. At first, I thought she might have been Rhodes' girlfriend. When I studied her closer and noticed her familiar green eyes, I realized it was his twin sister, Lana. I didn't really know much about Lana other than that she was Rhodes' twin. She was sort of quiet when they were seniors and we were freshmen. Honestly, in a kind of sad way, she was overshadowed by Rhodes. All the girls wanted him and all the boys were terrified of him. Lana was an afterthought. That is, until she was front-page news. A loud clamor in the kitchen startled me, and I quickly placed the photo back and hurried into the bathroom with my bag, shutting the door behind me and leaning against it to view the space. It was small, but again, clean. The shower was just that. There was no bathtub. I undressed quickly, pulled a towel out, and hung it beside the one Rhodes had just used, and stepped inside. The hot water felt incredible on my freshly rolled muscles. Although it hurt when Rhodes was rolling the ball across my legs and back, that pain had almost completely vanished, and the soreness melted away. Though I was sure it would be back the next day. Rhodes would be sure of it. I lathered up my body and hair with Rhodes' body wash and couldn't stop smelling myself, even after I had tied my hair up into a messy bun, dressed, and rejoined Rhodes in the kitchen, tossing my bag on the floor by his bike. I had caught so many teasing whiffs of the earthy evergreen scent when he'd been near me at the gym, but now it was amplified, with nothing else to drown it out. I hoped it wouldn't wash off.
Would you prefer chicken or salmon?
Rhodes asked, sautéing some sort of concoction in a skillet. His arms flexed with each stir, and I couldn't help but be mesmerized. The kitchen already smelled tantalizing, and my stomach growled. Chicken. I hate fish. He paused, turned to face me, and deadpanned.
You live in a beach town, and you don't like fish.
I shrugged. He shook his head and went back to whatever he was doing, as I pulled out one of the two bar stools and took a seat. For a few moments, he cooked in silence, pulling out chicken and vegetables and chopping them on a cutting board before adding them to the pan. His fingers worked quickly, methodically, like cooking was to him what breathing is to me, effortless. The silence was comfortable as I watched him, but I couldn't let my curiosity about what I'd seen in his bedroom go. Is that your sister in the photo by your bed? Rhodes stiffened at my question, stopping mid-stir for a beat. When he started again, he didn't turn to face me.
Yes.
She's beautiful.
She was.
He didn't falter with those words, but I noted the past tense. I remembered when Lana was reported as a missing person close to the end of their senior year, the sorrow that washed over the school as the days stretched on without anyone finding her. But after a while, the story of her disappearance faded. I realized as I sat at Rhodes Kitchen Island that I never did hear if they ever found her, though his past tense reference made me think maybe I didn't want to know. I sensed Rhodes' discomfort, so I changed the subject. I like your place. He shrugged, spinning in place to wash his hands in the sink in front of the counter I was sitting at before turning back toward the cabinets and reaching up for some spices.
It's not much.
How long have you lived here? He paused, his arm still stretched out above him as he dug through the spices, revealing just a small sliver of skin between the top of his boxers and the hem of his black t-shirt. Facing me once more, his eyes sparkled in the soft kitchen light.
There you go with your questions again.
I blushed and murmured, sorry. His eyes were still on me, but he nodded toward my bag.
Why do you always have that camera with you?
I followed his gaze to my camera tucked in the side pocket, the neck strap hanging out just a bit. It was my smaller camera, not the nicest one I owned, but I always carried one with me just in case. You know how you geek out about everything fitness-related? He glowered.
I don't geek out.
I stifled a laugh. Okay, well, I was trying to say that that's how I am with my photography. It's my thing, I guess. I've been into it my whole life, and I want to go to college and do it professionally. I paused at that admission. Well, maybe anyway. I don't know, I kind of always have a camera with me. He nodded, his arms flexing with each movement of the wooden spoon in his hand. My nose was in a frenzy, and my mouth had been watering since I got out of the shower.
You going to Appalachian State in the fall?
I sighed. I don't know. I probably should, but I don't really want to.
Wow,
he assessed, covering the skillet with a glass lid. He leaned back against the stove and crossed his arms over his chest.
The Paxton princess doesn't want to follow in her family's footsteps and do what all the PBH kids do. What a travesty.
I wanted to narrow my eyes at him and tell him not to call me that, but all I could do was shift uncomfortably under his gaze. It was hard to confront the scariest person I knew. Luckily, I was saved by my phone ringing before I had the chance to answer. It was Willow. Sorry, one sec. Rhodes didn't show any shift in emotion. He just turned to face the stove again and went back to work. Hey, Lo. Hey, what are you doing Wednesday? Wednesday wasn't training day, but I wasn't sure I was going to be down for whatever she was about to propose. Still, I couldn't think of any excuse, so I sighed. Nothing. What's up? Perfect. We're going to the town fair with the group. Now, before you tell me no because Mason will be there, let me remind you that you're looking super hot lately and you should prance around in front of him and Shay and show them you're not afraid of them. And we can go shopping for something super cute for you to wear. I tried to cut her off, but she just spoke louder over me. And this is our last summer together before college, and we have way too many memories to make to let that douche hose ruin it. I laughed at her expression, but couldn't help but note Rhodes' glare when she mentioned Mason. Could he hear her? I don't think this is a good idea, Willow. Oh, whatever, Nat. He's a pansy, and so is his new Barbie doll. Please come with me.
I'll protect you and fuck up anyone who tries to mess with my best friend.
I sighed but couldn't help but smile. I knew she was serious.
I don't know. Think about it. You need to stay relevant and in the picture if the end game is to get him back, right?
I chewed my lip. She did have a point. I wasn't sure I was exactly ready to see Mason just yet. I'd only been in training for a week and a half. But as the saying went, out of sight, out of mind. I didn't want him to forget about me while he got all caught up in Shay.
I'll buy you a funnel cake, she sang into the phone, and I laughed again.
Well, when you put it like that.
Yay! She squealed. I'll pick you up after your training on Tuesday. Love you, Nat.
I shook my head when the line went dead and tucked my phone back into my bag before sitting at the bar again. Rhodes assessed me as he plated our food. There was chicken, seasoned to perfection, along with vegetables and brown rice, none of which would have sounded good to me a week before, but all of which was making me drool at the current moment.
Nat, huh? Like the bug?
I scrunched my nose, pulling my attention from the saliva-inducing food porn.
What?
Your nickname.
Oh, no. I shook my head. It's Nat, like short for Natalie.
Huh, he said, handing me my plate. He nodded to the couch and I followed him over.
I think I like Bug better.
I frowned, wondering what he meant, but didn't comment further. Rhodes flipped on the television and kicked back on the couch, propping his feet on the coffee table. I hugged the arm opposite him and crossed my legs, balancing my plate in one hand and taking the first bite with the other. When I did, I couldn't help but moan. Oh my God, this is amazing! Rhodes smiled, which still made me falter even though I'd seen it already before that night. It was such a rare thing, such an amazing thing.
This is nothing. Simple. Just chicken.
Well, it's better than any chicken I've ever made. Or had. Ever. I was scarfing down bites between my words, but I wasn't even sorry.
Do you cook like this all the time?
He shrugged.
You said I geek out over fitness, but I think the better comparison would have been cooking. I watch a lot of cooking shows, read cookbooks, upgrade my kitchen when finances allow it. There's just something about creating healthy food that also tastes great. It's hard to do. A challenge, you know.
I nodded, though I didn't have the slightest clue. But it was the first time Rhodes talked about something he had a passion for, and it was kind of amazing to witness.
He chuckled. I'll have to really wow you next time.
Wait, did he just say next time? I swallowed the bite I'd been chewing and chased it with a long pull of water. He eyed me over his plate, the sports channel he had on the television filling in the silence.
Why did you agree to go to the fair if you didn't want to go?
I frowned, wondering how much of my conversation with Willow he'd heard.
I don't know. Willow wants me there. She's my best friend. It's whatever.
I stacked another piece of chicken on my fork. Besides, we go every year. It would be weird if I didn't show up. He watched me for another beat before taking another bite and turning toward the TV again.
You're so nice. You make other nice people look like assholes.
I giggled, flushed, and took another drink of water to cool my cheeks. He peered at me from the corner of his eye, brow cocked and a slight smile on his face. We ate the rest of our dinner in silence, and I helped him with the dishes, even though he tried to fight me on it. The one appliance missing from his kitchen was a dishwasher, so I washed and he dried. And he coached me on other foods to eat to keep my hunger at bay, while I pretended to listen, but paid more attention to the way his muscles in his forearms shifted as he dried each plate. And we talked. He listened when I spoke, and he didn't punish me by not saying anything at all. He talked, too, about the club, about plans he still had for his kitchen. And by the time we finished and he walked me out to my car, I had seen Rhodes smile more than I had in all the years I'd known him before that night. I drove home in silence, not even turning on the radio. I played through every word, every laugh, and every detail in my head. And my shirt still smelled like his body wash mixed with the chicken he'd cooked. I didn't change before I crawled into bed, and let the exhaustion from the day melt with the fullness of my belly, lulling me into a stupor. Mom peeked in to check on me at one point, but I pretended to be asleep, and she left again. Just as I was about to really drift off, my phone pinged. The bright light blinded me as I checked the screen, but then my eyes snapped open when the words came into focus. "Hey, you awake?" Mason.